This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Soul Story Club podcast. I'm Liz. I'm an actress, voiceover artist and rookie farmer.
Hi, I'm Helen. I'm an actress, a writer and a self-discovery coach. This podcast came about because I started sharing my story a while ago on Instagram about my cancer journey, and I had so many incredible messages about people relating because they'd gone through it or something similar, someone they loved had gone through it, and there was just something about sharing a story. It didn't offer a solution, but it just meant that I felt less alone. And we wanted to do this podcast to share stories and feel connected and grab a cuppa.
Each week, we've asked guests who've been on their own self-discovery journey to bring their favourite cuppa so we can sit down and chat with them and hear all about their stories. So our first official guest this week is Gemma Myrna. She's been on an incredible journey over the last 10 years, and you'll probably remember her from playing Carmel in Hollyoaks. She's not only an award-winning actress, a keen marathon runner, and a life coach now running amazing courses of meditation, yoga, and mindfulness.
We had such an incredible and inspiring chat with her. I was so surprised to learn so much about her, and actually things that I related to that I had no idea. Honestly, the world felt a kinder place when we finished off. She's such a wonderful person, and we hope you feel the same after listening to this.
Gemma Myrna, we are so excited to have you on our podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for being here.
You're our second guest, so you're going to take the pressure off Helen.
Brilliant. Love that.
And you've brought your cuppa. Liz forgot her cuppa. It's her own show, and she forgot her cuppa last week, so...
Oh, you forgot your cuppa.
Exactly. Exactly.
By the time you've set everything up, you've... Who's got time to put the kettle on?
It's the whole point.
I know. Well, Gemma, tell us, what have you brought with you today? What is your cuppa?
So I've brought a coffee with me today. So this is oat milk. And also just treat myself to the new Nespresso machine, Virtue. And the coffee is like velvet. So it is just like the best. So yeah, this is my second one of the day. So I thought I'd hold it off to meet you girls and have a good chat over it.
And you've got it in a fancy glass as well.
I don't do this every day, honestly. I just like poshed it up a little bit for you guys.
Are you like Helen? Do you have that special sugar? What's that special sugar you have,
Stevia.
Helen?
So do you know about Stevia?
So my husband's got a tonic business that is about Stevia. It makes tonics from Stevia. So yeah, we're like, I know a lot about Stevia, yeah.
Okay, so this is for another day because I really want to go into that.
Completely another day because we could go completely down the tangent here.
Because Liz has never heard of Stevia. Can you believe that?
You've never heard of Stevia?
I don't have sugar in my drink, so maybe that's why. It's never something I've had to think about. But when Helen told me that's what she put in, I thought she was like royalty.
Yeah. It's made from a plant and it's 100 times sweeter than sugar.
There we go. There we go.
Brilliant. You two have got a lot in common already.
I know, I'm loving it already. I love a fancy glass, a fancy coffee. She's used oat milk. Loving it.
She's you. I know. You're the same person technically so far.
I know, I thought that, Helen. Like, we follow each other on Instagram, never actually met.
Never met in person.
She's really, really like me. Everything that you put up, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally get that.
We're kindred spirits, aren't we, from afar?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Well, wait till we get talking, because you two have got something massively in common, which is your life coaching. Meditation, the yoga that you're into. And Gemma, you've been on the biggest journey in the last 10 years since leaving Hollyoaks. Do you want to take us back to that moment of leaving? And did you already have the plan of where you were going, or did life just take you there? What happened?
Oh God, are you ready, girls? I try and be as, you know, specific, but I can ramble on a little bit, so I will try. Roll back 10 years ago, I was in Hollyoaks playing Carmel, and it'll be 10 years in July. I got married in the May, and then in the July, my father passed away really suddenly. went to sleep and didn't wake up again, had a heart attack. So that was kind of when you go from an absolute high of being so happy to then grief hitting you and not really ever understanding what grief was, what you should do, because I think in this country as well, we don't talk about it. It's very hidden from children. So you grow up with this kind of fear of death and not really understanding it. And yeah, so my dad passed away and it was just about getting through the day, really. And I stayed at Hollyoaks for another 2 years. And it was, I loved Carmel so much. I loved playing her, but I could do it with my eyes shut. So it was kind of the easiest thing to do, just to carry on. And then I think going through grief process and realizing that life's just so short. And I was just a little bit like, I just want to challenge myself. I want to go and do other things. And I want to kind of experience who I can be on my own. Because if you can imagine, when you're in a show like that, you're so wrapped in cotton wool. It's like, you know, you go to an award ceremony, it's like, there's your train ticket. You get on this train at this time. There's a car waiting for you. You jump in a car. You go to the awards. You come back. And everything's like time. Someone tells you what to do. And it's great. But it also, I think, makes you very fearful. Well, it did for me, to do anything outside your comfort zone. And I realized that I was like, God, I'm scared of even like going on a plane on my own or going here on my own, because I've either got my friends with me or I'd have like my husband with me. Or so, yeah, I think it was just that. And I felt, you know, you get into your 30s and I think you just want to grow so much as a person. Everyone has that change of, is this the life I want to live or do I want to go and explore? So, yeah, there was something in me that was going, I want to see more and do more. So I left the show and it was really sad because it was like grieving her as well. I didn't realise when I left how sad I would be, because it was grieving somebody that I'd kind of played for 8 years every single day and that you'd just become so attached to.
And it's coming out of that routine, isn't it? It's then, what do I do when I wake up?
What do I do? Because you're just used to getting all your, like every night, your call time, you've got 12 scenes a day, da da da. And I remember the first day, I was like, what do I do now? I was like, uh-oh.
It's so amazing because it feels like the dream life, doesn't it? But actually, it's like you don't know yourself because you're just being told what to do and you're going along with the process. And
that's exactly right, Helen. You don't know yourself. You don't know who you are because you play this character. And then, like I said, you go on the red carpet. And I had this whole thing of like perfectionism when I was younger.
Oh, I can relate so much, Gemma.
So then I like played this character on the red carpet as well. And then there was Gemma at home who just loves a brew and in her pyjamas. Do you know what I mean? It's like with the dogs and watching a box set, you know what I mean? It's like, and it was like these three different people I was, and it was mental. So yeah, anyway, I left and I was doing a lot of yoga at the time and I felt it was the only place where like at the end of a class in Shavasana, if I felt like crying, no one judged me, it was accepted. Where if I cried at work, people go, don't cry, you'll ruin your makeup. You know, they were the reactions I'd get because people are so uncomfortable with emotion. But I've realised over these years, I'm just a highly sensitive person.
I feel like we are kindred spirits. Like, I've got goosebumps here, Gemma. Like, I feel I relate so much. And do you know what, Gemma? I didn't even know this about you, but my dad died 12 years ago to the day. And everything you're talking about, that grief, that not having a place to grieve and other people feeling uncomfortable when you're grieving, it's one of those sparks that you're like, I want to understand life a little bit more. Like, what is life all about? And then it's a wake-up call for your own life to start living your life and not wait for tomorrow. So, oh, I wish we could talk all day.
I know. This is what I said to Liz. I went, we'll be on this all day. But yeah, no, it's that living, isn't it? And it's like, I just felt if I'd stayed at Hollyoaks, I'd have just been stuck as that person forever. And it's like, and that's fine, do you know what I mean? But for me, I felt a bit suffocated. Like, I was just like, I want to discover who I can be because I know I've got all this in me and I can push myself out of my comfort zone, but fear was stopping me from doing everything. And limited beliefs that I couldn't do it, where anyone can do anything they want to do, that you've got it inside you. So yeah, from that, I loved yoga, been practicing since I was like 18. And the teacher who I was going to a lot at the time, the teacher training was coming up and it was in Morocco for like 2 weeks. And we just started building our house. And my husband was like, why don't you just go? And I was like, hey, I've never been on holiday on my own. I've never got a plane. So he made me like sit there and book my flight on my own and like looked over me. I was like, okay, you're doing okay. Things like that, because it, you know, he'd do it all for me, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just so, I booked my flight and I went to Morocco with 26 people I didn't know and lived in a house on the beach with them all.
Talk about jumping in at the deep end.
I know. It was just like, everyone thought I'd gone mental. Everyone was like, are you messing? You're going... I didn't know anyone. And all my friends was just like, obviously in the show, because you just stay in the bubble. But yeah, it was the biggest challenge. And probably now I look back and think, oh, I'm not sure if I'd do it again. But at the time, I'm glad I did do it, because that was like the springboard into everything I do now. And I met some really lovely people. I've got like 4 friends that we met on that we're still really good friends now. And it just made me realise that wherever you go and whatever you do, you always kind of attract your own little tribe. You're not always going to get on with everybody, and that's fine. But there is people that you have a lot in common with. So yeah, I did my yoga, started teaching yoga a lot in studios, and did that for quite a few years, become a personal trainer because I wanted to understand a lot more about the body. And then it's quite important this actually, because my dog about 5 years ago, he got something called tachycardia in his heart and we nearly lost him. And when we went through that process, my body started to shake. And it shook for 24 hours and I couldn't stop it from shaking. So I knew that there was something going on with like my central nervous system. And I, again, I'm a person that can't avoid it. I have to go, right, what is going on? I need to face up to this. And then I just kind of did a lot more research into kind of meditation and everything. And then just did a lot more like healing work, did a lot of hypnotherapy. I found that really helps.
Was that like a trauma response?
Yeah, from my dad's death. Yeah, because I was having a lot of flashbacks. When my dad passed away, we just got a phone call and we had to rush to Manchester, and I was getting a lot of flashbacks. So yeah, I think every time something stressful happened, I'd go into this kind of, I'd go freezing cold and just shake.
Wow. Like a proper fight or flight stress mode, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And then I didn't realise, because it was just things like I love to sing, but I could never get back on stage and sing because the nerves would set in. But I didn't realise it was to do with the fight or flight and understanding what was actually happening. Not that I was really nervous, it's just my body was going to fight or flight. So I needed to learn tools how to take myself out of that fight or flight. And I didn't realize I was probably living in my fight or flight all the time, and the adrenaline and cortisol was just attacking my body. And like, I'd just get really, if I got ill, I'd just get really ill, where I'd have to just like take a couple of days or weeks to rest. And I'm still quite like that now.
It's like you're just suppressing it and getting on with it, and it's not until you face up to what's happening, you can move on from it.
Exactly. But I think when something like that happens to you as well, you always might suffer with your central nervous system, because it's about them rebuilding it and just recognising when, you know what I mean, situations arise, like, okay, this is stressful. What's happening to me now physically and mentally? So, and then that's where you can do your breathing techniques or your meditation and things like that to help. So yeah, I kind of discovered that, and then lockdown then hit, and I then did a further meditation course with a company in LA called Unplug. And I loved them because I felt like it was meditation, but without all the kind of, I think when some people do meditation, you might think, oh, I've got to be religious, or I can't do it because I've got thoughts. They really broke it down so easily and scientifically that you kind of go, oh, I can meditate. And if I do get thoughts that come in, that's part of the meditation. Just divert myself back to the breath. So I did that and then went on to life coaching. and with Mindful Talent. And it's been, I didn't think I could grow anymore as a person because I'd discovered so much about myself. But that 6 months I did with my life coaching, again, I just discovered so much more about myself. And I just recommend it to anyone, even if you're not going to be a coach. I think it's an amazing thing to do to understand yourself, but also people around you and how to communicate with people, because everyone's got a different story and you never know what people have gone through or what are going through. And yeah, I just feel like life coaching, I'm just madly in love with it. I think it's amazing. And now I do a lot of courses for, like, well, I say women, but I have men on it as well, but about us taking our power back and having a bit of time for us and not burning ourselves out for everyone around us. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing at the moment. So I've tried to keep it short and sweet for you all, but it is a 10-year process.
How many qualifications have you done in that 10 years? Your CV is massive.
I love a qualification. Now I'm looking at my hypnotherapy. Oh,
God. You're not going to stop, are you? You're just going to keep learning and learning and learning.
Because it keeps you growing as a person. It keeps your brain going. And it's just like, and this is the thing, that as individuals, don't ever settle. Don't ever settle. Like, we always can learn something off someone or, you know, or another course or anything like that.
Do you feel like the truest version of you now, Gemma? Like when you said in Hollyoaks you were these three kind of people, the red carpet person, the actress, and then Gemma at home. Do you feel like you are now just a complete true version of you?
Yeah, totally. I feel like I go out now and I'd like around people. I used to just kind of put like a persona on and go, oh, you know, but, and I'm like, I am truly me. And I notice sometimes when I start to slip, like go back into that like performance of person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, you guys know, because you know what I mean? You've been performing all your life. It's just something that you do. And then, because I even notice, because my husband goes sometimes, who are you? Like, he'll go, who are you? That's not you.
Yeah, your mannerisms are different, aren't they? I call it persona performance.
Yes.
Nice, Helen.
I know, I love that.
I can imagine a lot of people, not just as performers, get that. But I think when you're a performer, you're taught to whatever's going on in the background, when you're on stage or on set, that's not happening.
You're shining. Yeah, you're shining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. You're ready to go. And I think it's a dangerous ground, especially, I mean, Helen used to be a... always says you're a people pleaser. I'm that person that's always like, hey, everything's fine, don't worry about it. And I wonder if it is, a lot of people will still relate to that, even not in the performing world, but there's definitely something we're taught from being young, isn't there? Don't bring those problems through the door. You're here to do a performance.
Don't show emotions, just get on with it. And it becomes, like you said, it becomes exhausting, doesn't it?
It's like you are performing all the time and it's just so lovely to be you. But this is a coaching program that I've developed at the moment as well, for coaching for performers. And we're taking it into universities for performing arts students, for them to... So it's like a 12-week program and it's them to understand their identity, understand the nerves, understanding how to deal with rejection in the industry, how to deal with when you get the job as well, how to look after yourself, and the tools of meditation, affirmations, yoga, whatever it might be. And I'm so passionate because my website's getting done at the moment, and I looked at the page yesterday and we've got a video of it and of what it is basically in a nutshell. And I actually teared up because I was just like, you know what? If this had been out and somebody had been doing this while I was in the show and I was going through grief and I was struggling with anxiety and, you know, everything that I didn't understand, I didn't know what was going on with myself, it really would have helped me just having that community and to go, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I need to do and take some time for me to rebuild myself, fill my cup up, and then get back out there. And how many times is it we don't get an audition and you think it's your own fault or, personal. Oh, I'm rubbish. Yeah, yeah. No, it's not. It's just the fact that you don't look right for the part, or somebody else is, do you know what I mean? They know somebody in the show or something like that. It's simple things like that. But we always, as performers, beat ourselves up. We're not good enough because we didn't get that job, or, you know, it's about performers not doing that whole thing, leaving everything at the door. Like, for us to be performers, we're all highly sensitive people. And if you suppress that for too long, that's where the problems kick in. So it's about understanding that, okay, it's all right to be emotional and it's all right to be a performer. It's not about the, let me push to the front row and don't care about anyone, we're in competitive. I just think that's just the old way of the industry. I think there's a new way that we need to be in that industry. And I'm really passionate about it. And I'm so thrilled that I'll be able to take this into universities and performing arts colleges and that.
That's so beautiful, Gemma. It's making me excited at the thought of it being that kind of new way of doing acting without the competition. Because I think especially for highly sensitive people, like, it feels like you shouldn't be in that industry because you're too sensitive. And it's like, actually, it needs more empathy and more emotions and that kind of vulnerability. Those people make great actors because actually they listen a lot more, like they understand what it is to feel that emotion. And I think this is so beautiful that you're setting that up. I'm so excited for you.
And all this coming from you taking the risk, Gemma, 10 years ago. Like, what, you know, what unfolds over a 10-year process to you then helping other people? You know, if you never took that risk, this course would not exist. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? Where you can, when you finally sit with yourself and say, right, this is what I want, and then where that can go for more than just you.
Yeah, I was just very, very lucky. I have a really supportive husband who was just like, you're not happy. You're not happy. You know, you've got to make a decision. And I did, and it was the hardest decision. And I've had many a times I've gone, oh my God, have I made the right decision? And then now all this is happening, I'm like, God, I have. Because I've grown so much as a person as well.
And you are still acting as well, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, you've found a way to come back to that, but through your new way of doing things, which is, and it's so interesting that you say that you weren't happy, but fundamentally your body was telling you something's not right with this environment and I need to make a change. And it feels like the moment that you felt that you were lost was actually like the beginning of your journey to becoming home, like being found. It's like, it's so beautiful to see it.
And how was that, Gemma, going, I know you've not stopped acting since leaving Hollyoaks, but what's it like going on a set now? Does it just feel liberating? What's the difference?
So yeah, when I filmed Brassic a couple of weeks ago, and I stepped on set, and obviously I was a little bit nervous, obviously working with Michelle, they're like, queen. And I was just like, but I you know what, I felt really proud of myself, because in the sense, like, I was like, since the last time I was on set, I've really worked on myself and I know who I am now. And I was more me when I walked on set, not the performer, Gemma, you know what I mean? I was more me. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, this feels like home. And it was lovely because it did feel like that towards the end of my time in Hollyoaks. It was like, I just needed to heal me. But I did feel like, oh, this feels like home. And I feel ready to do more now in like TV again, because I've just found out who I truly am. And I think that's the biggest gift as an actor, to know who you are, to then go on set and go and get jobs. And I think you're more authentic that way. And maybe it's just what I needed to realize as an actor as well.
It's so amazing you say that, because I've always thought that, like, I've spent my whole career understanding why a character does something, why they behave this way, but never thought to do it about myself. Like, why do I, like, start with yourself? Yeah. Like, why do I behave like this? Why am I doing this? And it's like, actually, I agree. Like, I feel so differently now coming into acting, understanding myself.
It's the identity though, isn't it? Like, are we ever taught in colleges, like, the identity of ourselves? But we are taught to, like, break down the scene, find out what they're saying, what they're not saying. But we should be doing that with us first. And this is the program that I'm trying to create, because it's like, we should know us. So when we do go into a job, we don't lose ourselves, because it's easily done. It's so easily done, because you're playing that character like 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. course you're going to lose yourself, or you're going to take on part. So it's just,
and it's
about
a bubble,
like,
isn't it? You become in this bubble as well. It's the whole thing, the environment that just all adds to it.
Totally.
What's the biggest thing that surprised you that you thought, wow, I've actually done this? What, along that process, what has surprised you about yourself the most?
When I did my life coaching, we had to do 3 essays. And I was talking about this on a live the other day. Like, I got diagnosed with dyslexia when I was 7. And it really gave me a label. And from that, I was always like, I can't sight read. So even in like art class, I'd be like, I've got to read over things. It was like I'd get really stressed about it. Like, I can't sight read. Or can I have that script like the day before to read through it? Or I can't write an essay. I can't do it. I can't. And then I had this, and they said to me, you can speak us through it, or you can record it, send it in. I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to sit down and try. And I've written 3 amazing essays, and I was blown away, because that's something that's a limited belief I've had since the age of 7, that I've gone, I can't do this. And I think that held me back from like going to university or pushing myself in like education, because I had this belief that I wasn't clever enough to write an essay or to, you know, get more qualifications in my life. And I think that was a really big one that surprised me. Because especially with the character I played on Hollyoaks, you know, everyone just used to label me as, oh, that dumb blonde on Hollyoaks. And you know what? I know it's only a character, but it gets to you over time when people say, you're like, I'm not like that. This is who I am, you know. So I think that was a real, like, point in my life where I was like, oh, I am a little bit clever. I can write essays. I can do this. So, yeah, I think that was a really big point. And then the second one is now like developing a website and helping people out and helping young performers out, because I don't want talent to get lost. Because why should we let talent get lost? What, just because they can't be pushy, or they can't be competitive, or they can't, you know what I mean? Why should we let that amazing talent gone because they're too nervous to get on stage? No, we work with them to help them, and then they will be able to give that performance of a lifetime.
I'm so glad you're talking about it, because it's like letting people know that there are people out there that do care, and they are creating stories that are passionate and you know, empathetic, and we are out there, like, letting you know.
Yeah.
We'll put your websites on the link.
Yeah, but it's like for people listening who just feel like the world's not for them, and it's for these competitive people who are driven and go out there. It's like, no, speak up, it's okay.
Exactly. And you know, you're probably aware of it as well, Hannah, aren't you? Like, your masculine energy versus your feminine energy. And it's the thing, isn't it? Like, I lived in my masculine energy for far too long, and that's what led me to burnout, where now I live more in my feminine energy, and I get actually more done. I kind of succeed at so much more.
Oh my God, exactly.
Hang on, you two all synced. What does this mean?
Go on, Helen.
No, I want you to explain it, but it's not necessarily gender. It's not masculine, gender, feminine. And everything in the universe has a masculine and feminine energy.
We have both. But basically, if we're always on the go, like 24/7, and we're pushing to get that job, you know what I mean? Like, we're pushing, like, we're going to get that acting job, and we're going to push everyone out. That's in our more in our masculine energy. But when we lean into our feminine energy, where we're like, oh, let's all work as a team. Let's get some more women on board, like with my company, you know what I mean? Let's work with more women and stuff, and just pull it back slightly and let things flow and go, well, I'm going to put that out there. And you know what? If that job comes off, great. If it doesn't, it's just not meant to be for me. That's more like in your feminine energy.
Oh, that's a way more relaxed energy.
It's a lovely relaxed energy, but none of us are taught really to be in it. We're always taught to be in this masculine, to push. And like, if you don't push, you're not working hard enough.
Exactly. The art of being busy. It's so interesting, because I stress myself out so much in that production, action, taking action. And I've actually learned now that I do more in 10 minutes by just reconnecting, regrounding, and then kind of speaking from my truth. I do more in 10 minutes than I would taking action, because actually I'm just burning myself. I'm producing stuff that's not really great. Don't get me wrong, though. If I do 10 minutes, I need about a week off.
Like, don't worry, Helen. I'm exactly the same. I'm all about the relax now. It's like I do a day's work and I'm like, oh, my God. I did 2 days filming for the website and I was like, I need a week off now. I'm absolutely exhausted. Absolutely exhausted. And I was. Yeah.
Why not? You do feel bad, though, don't you? When you have a moment to yourself, you're like, yeah. Oh, I should be doing something.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But this is what I say to all the ladies I work with. Why do we feel like that? Like, why do we think we've always got to be doing? Where has that kind of come from? And it's been, you know, born into us. It's the surrounding, the people around us, you know, it's the way we've been brought up. So it's that thing of, no, you know, I'm going to like sit down this afternoon and read a book and have a coffee. And you know what I mean? It's that thing of, if I'm struggling with my creative side now, I just do a bit of yoga or go for a run and literally it like switches on my creative side of me. And then I can write stuff down and then it's like, okay, I'm done now for the day. I've done my job.
And it's so much easier. You're not having to force something out, or you're not having to force yourself to sit at a computer for an hour and force yourself to write. It's like, no, it's all there. It comes through so easily.
But it comes through more when you're more relaxed. And this is the thing where, you know, your meditation, your yoga comes in, going out for a walk, or, you know, those daily habits. And that's what I always teach on my courses as well. It's like, add these little daily habits into your life that you enjoy doing. So if that's like getting in bed 30 minutes earlier and reading, you know, like 50 pages of your book or what it might be before you go to sleep, do it. Because it makes you happier, so then you're going to be a happier person to be around as well.
Can I ask this? Because I don't do yoga or meditate. And genuinely, it doesn't often come to my head, but I think, what is the first step into fitting that into your day? Because I've got 2 kids, 2 on the way. It's just going to get even more. What is your advice to someone like me who... you know, kids is just a 24-hour job in itself, regardless of anything else you want to achieve. What could you advise to try and get that in at some point in your day?
With meditation alone, I got told off my teacher was just get up like 15 minutes early before the whole house wakes up, sit up and meditate. And if that's just like your own breathing, or if that's you've got like audio and you put your little, you know, headphones in or something, do that before you start your day, because it sets you up in a better state of mind. Same with yoga, if you can do it. But, you know, it is hard with children. It really is. But if you can, get them involved in it, because I'm really passionate about like the younger generation. Teach them yoga, teach them meditation, give them the tools. So when they grow up, they have all these tools to deal with stresses of life. Not for like the likes of me that got to 30 and was like, oh, I need to like find what can help me. It's like teach the younger generation, because all this stuff has been going on for years and years and years, and it helps you so much with life. So yeah, the kids yoga and stuff is fantastic. Like you can get online and stuff like that. Try and get them into that. It's fun for them as well.
You might meditate with Marnie, don't you, at bedtime? Yeah,
she does bits at school, and she always, you know, namaste. They do. They have little moments at school, and it's funny because my bedtime routine with them, it's all very calming. It's all very, come on, let's wind down. But I don't do it for myself. And you, Gemma, maybe that's the absolute thing. I should start getting involved with them, not them getting involved with me. Maybe I should start doing it with them.
Yeah. And that's lovely that you have that bedtime routine, though, very calm. It's lovely, because I think it's just a lovely way to teach them.
Yeah, and you can find your own way, like even doing 10 minutes of a bit of movement and 10 minutes of a bit of yoga, or even like for you, Liz, you've got, you know, it's very busy. I understand with kids, it's hard. Even just like when you're in the car, when you've dropped them off at school, of just tapping into your breath, seeing where you're breathing. Are you breathing in your chest? Are you breathing in your belly? Even that is a type of meditation. So it doesn't, you know, I know it feels like, right, I've got to clear the room, light candles, but...
Oh, yeah, that's how I imagine it.
Finding a way of it fitting in your life so that you can start realising the difference it makes. And then you'll start letting it grow. Then it'll start becoming 10 minutes, 20 minutes, because you'll be so like, I want more of this. And, you know, so it's finding a way of making a start of just fitting it in for your, you know, your lifestyle.
I'm going to make it my mission for the next week to slot in at least 5 minutes.
You're right, Helen. It's those breathing techniques. I used to just do them on the motorway in the car because I'd feel like I was in my chest and the anxiety was setting in. So I'd breathe. And sometimes it'd take me like 10, 15 minutes for the breath to go down into my belly because I was that worked up, you know. But I just use that time and just keep doing it and keep doing it. And like you said, the more you do meditation, the more you breathe, the more amazing you feel. And you're like, I want more of this. So I've got to fit it in my life. I've got to find a way to fit this in. But I know if I don't meditate or yoga in the morning, they don't flow as well my days, or go for a walk. Like this morning, I was like, I've got two puppies. I've got two older dogs. One's on season at the moment. And yeah, I'm sorting out this website. So I was already on emails and I was like, I'm getting up here. So I was like, right, girls, we're going for a walk. And then I went for like a 40-minute walk, come back. I was like, I'm sorted.
I just want to be in a day of the life of you, Gemma.
I know, Gemma. I'm so inspired.
I'm so relaxed already.
Yeah, I am. Even your voice is incredibly relaxing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to go meditate after this.
Oh, well, you can have all my meditations with my voice. I've got them all coming out on my website, so I'll send them all to you.
Perfect.
Honestly.
And we will definitely put that link on this pod on the...
You'll love it because the meditations are really lovely. Sometimes, this is what I do. I put them on the speaker in the kitchen and the puppies literally are running. They're looking at me and then the next minute they just fell down to the side. I'm like, so they're being a bit wild. Let me put my meditations on. And it's like it tranquilizes them.
Wow.
But I advise to do it with animals as well, like meditate with your animals, because it really chills them out because they feed off your energy as well.
There we go. Animals chill. I mean, animals, you've got a whole farm full now.
Oh yeah, maybe I'll do it with the sheep. When the sheep are lambing, I'll get Gemma on. Loudspeakers, Gemma meditating with my sheep.
Yes. I was watching it on Monday. I absolutely love it. I love it.
Oh, Gemma, that has been such an inspiring chat and just incredible. And it's amazing that when you speak to people like you, how inspiring it just bounces back. And we can all get stuck in our ways and get stuck into our life in, you know, being busy or whatever it is. But I love speaking to people like you that just lifts you back out of that and is like, come on, let's face the world. Let's do what we can. And relax at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And so warm as well, Gemma. Like, you've just got such a lovely spirit.
Really have. Have you enjoyed it?
I love it. Honestly, girls, I could chat to you all day.
I know. We need to meet in person,
I know,
Gemma.
I was thinking that, you know, we really need to get a day together and we'll, like, meet in person and go for some lunch and stuff. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be putting retreats on as well towards the end of the year, so you'll have to come on the retreats as well.
Oh my God, I'd love that.
It'll be like yoga, meditation, time for you type thing, nice food and that. We're just looking for venues at the moment. So yeah, it's and then get loads of people together and just have a really nice time.
Wow, you've not stopped, have you? You are just bam, bam, bam. It's all going, isn't it?
I know, but I love it.
From that one little thought, Gemma, I feel so proud to be your friend.
Oh, thanks, guys.
It takes courage to change, doesn't it? But you can see how worth it is.
It is. You just got to follow your own intuition and, yeah, follow your heart as well.
The world feels a brighter place today after speaking to you.
Oh,
it really does. It's so good to have you on, Gemma. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Where can the listeners find you anyway? Your Instagram, your website?
So, on my Instagram is just at Gemma Myrna. And we also have a Mind and Wellness UK. And the website is mindandwellness.co.uk. So that'll be launched at the end of February.
How exciting.
Oh, wow, Gem, thanks so much. And we will definitely catch up soon and I'll let you know how I get on with my meditation of 5 minutes a day.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening to Soul Story Club. We really hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so it will automatically download onto your phone when there's a new episode. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Soul Story Club.